Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Closet Conversations. Today, it is my pleasure to bring to you Neil Abramson. He is the president of NARTS. That's the Association of Resale Professionals. This is the trade association that works with Capitol Hill on policy and all things related to the business of reselling and consignment. And he is here not only as president of NARTS, he is here as a consignment shop owner in his own right. He has a chain of stores as well as a professional business consultant position he's had for many, many years. And he's here to share his expertise with us about everything going on with COVID-19 and the SBA and all of the loan programs that are out there. Welcome, Neil.
Jenny, thanks for having me. It's truly an honor to be on your show today.
Well, thank you so much. Now, Neil, you and I met a long time ago when I went to my very first NARTS conference in Atlanta, Georgia, way before I ever had a store, and I learned about the organization, and I knew it was a resource for people who wanted to learn about having consignment shops and or being online sellers. And so I learned about you guys kind of early on and before I ever had a store. And so over all these years I've been a member of NARTS, I have enjoyed the regional conferences, I've enjoyed the newsletter and everything that that community brings. But it isn't until this moment dealing with COVID-19 and the effects of that to people all around the world, specifically to consignment shop owners and resellers like myself. And you have been there to explain all of this in language that's clear and concise. And I have just been so impressed with listening to you with your Facebook Lives. I wanted to bring you to the listeners of my podcast today. So, Neil, I want to get started. I want to know all about what your role is as president of NARTS and everything that's happened with COVID-19 and how that's trickling down to people like myself.
Sure thing, Jenny. Well, now my role as the president of NARTS, NARTS is served by a volunteer board of directors, of which I am one of them. And it's truly an honor to be able to give back and serve the industry that has given me so much as a business person and both for our business and both professionally. So it truly is an honor to do that. NARTS's primary mission is education. You know, we provide educational events a few times a year in person and provide other content to our members throughout the year and are a resource there for them. My role as president has evolved because I can be active politically, so we lobby the industry on the association's behalf. I mean, prior to what you hear with COVID-19, probably one of the big other times in our history that people thought of us was with the CPSIA restrictions that happened back in 2008, 2009 that really affected anyone that dealt with children's products because that all dealt with children's safety and the reselling of children's products. But we're active all the time on issues that affect Main Street retailers. The resale industry is the go ahead.
Yeah, well, this you've got a big issue right now. And reselling just before all this happened with COVID-19 was really taking off with big online consignment chains like The RealReal. You've got ThredUp and online, you have eBay and all these other platforms that are out there. And suddenly, resale is top of mind. Suddenly, this is the hottest segment of retail. And then suddenly, COVID-19 happens.
It does. I would have never imagined that virtually the entire economy could stop overnight. And it did. And for many stores, as COVID spread across the country, they were closed before they knew it. And what I mean by that is their sales had dropped off, but they weren't under a stay-at-home order or such that required their business to be closed as a non-essential business. And that happened, and it really freaked people out. They didn't know what to do. There was a lot of fear and a lot of unknown. And so I took to the airwaves of the Resale Association to dispel the fear, to give facts, and to answer questions. And I've been doing that every night since the stay-at-home orders first came on.
Well, I've been watching you, and I am so impressed. And let me tell people about this from my perspective. So if you're a member of NARTS, and if you've not joined, I highly recommend it. But there is a way, I think, to get access to your lives on a separate YouTube channel. I understand we can talk about that later, but it's been this amazing thing to be able to go on there and listen to you talk about everything as it's evolving. Because the thing about the SBA loans and the PPP and all of this stuff is that they keep changing it. They keep tweaking it. They keep massaging it as they learn more about it and things like that. And you're there to give us an update every single day, literally 7 days a week, on what has changed, what's the latest, what's coming. And it reminds me of you approach it the way Andrew Cuomo does in New York. You state the facts, you say what's happening, and you have a very positive outlook about how we're going to get through all of this. But I did want to talk to you really specific about what is, for people who are listening now who may not be members of NARTS, who may not have had access to anything that you've been doing, can you tell me kind of from a broad view, kind of, you know, what is going on and what is the government providing to people who have shops, people who are self-employed? Can you just kind of start as if you're starting for the first day and telling people a little bit about what's going on?
Sure. You have to first come at it from the perspective, Jenny, of we've survived 100% of our worst days. If you start listing anything, if you've been in business more than 5 minutes, something bad has happened to you in your business, whether that's a bad review, whether that's, a leak in your building, whether that's fire, flood. I've had people that have had cars driven through their stores. Regardless, you've survived 100% of your worst days so far, and we're going to survive this. The best days of resale are ahead of us, not behind us. And there's some great programs from the government that are going to allow us to live another day. And that's really important right now because I know people are stressed. What bills do I pay? Who do I pay? I have all these things to pay and I don't have the revenue coming in. And that's regardless whether they have a storefront, whether they're only an online seller, whether they're just selling on one of the platforms such as eBay or Poshmark. You know, revenue has slowed dramatically because people are hanging on to cash. And that's what I recommend people do in general, is hang on to cash and prioritize it. That allows them to, again, fight another day. The most important thing that they can do is make sure that that themselves and their family are fed. If you got a full belly, you'll live to fight another day. You know, after that, I recommend that people pay their insurance. And I say that as one of the priority bills because insurance companies aren't very good at late payments. They either have their payment at midnight when the clock strikes 12, or they don't, and they cancel you. Thirdly, if you have any staff or employees, and it's important to make sure that you've paid them through the last time they've worked. And lastly, if you have any vendors, consignors or other vendors, is to pay them within your agreement with them, okay, as much as possible, or communicate why you can't and when you will be able to. But the government programs that are going to help businesses of all shapes and sizes get through this to the other side of this, well, there's really three. There's expanded unemployment benefits, and unemployment benefits expanded in a way that they have never been done before. And that's going to allow self-employed people to be able to collect unemployment. People that haven't paid into the unemployment system will be able to collect unemployment soon in every state in the country. That's going to be subsidized and paid for by the federal government. Plus, they'll get an extra $600 a week while they're not able to work. And many, many people, because of the stay-at-home or shelter-in-place orders across the country, are affected by this and just never get a 1099 at the end of the year but have never paid into the unemployment system. So this allows gig workers, is the section that they really titled it, but it covers all manners of self-employment from
your
tax return.
That's it. And what's interesting about that is that I actually fall into that category. I mean, here I am with a consignment shop. I'm an LLC. There's two business partners, but the way we're structured, we are considered self-employed. We're not an INC. We don't have payroll. We're not set up in that way. So that one distinction sets us apart, and there's a whole separate set of guidelines for people who fall in that category.
Right, and it's huge. And even though the money from that in most states in the country hasn't started flowing yet, it'll flow back to March, I think it's the 29th. The bill, I think, was signed on the 27th. It starts with the week of the 29th. So once your individual state or your listener's state is part of that program, which they'll all have it working by the end of the month, you'll be able to apply for and receive unemployment benefits, which is just huge because that's keeping money and food on people's tables. And quite honestly, as most small business owners, they'll end up putting it back in their business to pay a business bill before they pay something other than of their own besides food. That's huge, and that's a great help. And especially in this time where the whole economy is shut down in this way, it's not an embarrassment. A lot of people take unemployment as there's a psychological factor to that I'm unemployed, and it weighs on people. But there is no stigma from this program or from taking that. It is our government helping us get to the other side of this, and it's just one of the tools that they're allowing for help.
If you think about it, there are limited ways to get money to people. Like limited systems that are set up that can do it quickly, right?
That is correct.
So this system, the unemployment system, is the perfect tool to use to get money to anybody. I love that. Now, I personally am going to have no problem applying for my benefits at all. The challenge for someone like me is because I have to kind of wait for the self-employment part to kick in. And every day I'm like online reading the state of California, and is it time yet? And it's so confusing. I even sent an email to the local rep, my local guy, I think it's the district rep, the other day. And they emailed me back with still, they can't even tell you, but yeah, I have no stigma. I'm going to apply for everything that's out there because I do want to get to the other side of this. But yet in order to do that, we still have to understand these vehicles. So Neil, talk more. I mean, you talked about vehicle number one, the unemployment. What's next?
The next is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and that is a part of the Small Business Administration program, and it's administered by the Small Business Administration. This is a great program to businesses, okay, large and small, to apply to, and they're doing a few things. One, they're all about operating expenses. So this is just about keeping your business operating, keeping you alive to fight another day. Okay, and make sure that you're standing on the other side of it. The loan itself works out to about half of your annual gross profit. So basically your sales minus your cost of goods sold divided by 2 gives you half your gross profit for the year. That amount they will offer to you in a loan, and they have a very competitive rate on that. It is a loan. I can't stress enough that it is a loan, but it's again, keep you breathing and alive and get you to the other side of this. It's a 30-year fixed rate interest loan at 3.75% with the first payment not due till 1 year after the loan is funded. The SBA is working incredibly hard. The organization of the SBA is a phenomenal organization filled with tremendously great people around the country who execute their mission every day. They're now issuing daily what they do in a year, which is just crazy. But the businesses need, there's that level of support that's needed because the entire economy is essentially stopped. So these loans can be, for some businesses, can be quite large. I mean, for most businesses, relative to the size of your business, it's a large chunk of money. But it is a loan. It's designed around your operating expenses, so that if this is prolonged, nobody at the time that we're recording this, Jenny, knows for sure when this is going to be over. And no one knows for sure when we'll return to normal. So that's an important distinction because it'll end, okay, where the restrictions will be relaxed about stay at home. And people will be able to be back out again. And people will be shopping again. And people will be able to go to bars and restaurants. But when that happens, we don't know how the American consumer will react. Will they all just come rushing out and spend? Will they be reserved and hold back? So when does normal sales for a store? So the SBA acknowledges that by giving you this six-month lifeline. It is, that, as I mentioned, that 3.75% interest loan with a 30-year repayment term. So it becomes very affordable, but it needs to be used for the right purposes. And for many businesses that had a little bit of a cushion, this money can get put off to the side and not really touched. For others, they'll use it to make rent payments or pay their utilities and such and pay their vendors so that they're ready to be standing and be strong on the other side of this.
What's interesting is that prior to this, the SBA is something that I learned about early on when I was first opening my business. My business partner went to their office in Pasadena and sat down with a few people, and they kind of grill you. But I knew they had loans, and I knew they had these programs, but we didn't really utilize it. Our thinking at the time was we're going to try to do this without a loan, with our own resources, with our own money to put into the business and things like that. So I just sort of forgot about it, didn't even think about it. But now with all this that's going on, and to understand that there's money out there at such a low percentage rate for such a long period of time, suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, the SBA really does have things that can help you grow your business. You don't have to rely on, did I grow my business enough? Are my profits high enough, to make my business take it to the next level, like trying to do it on your own without the loan, right? And then this crisis makes
right.
you realize, why am I trying to do it on my own when I can get some 3.75% money somewhere?
Well, I certainly don't want to encourage debt. And that's the other side of it, is I want people to wake up a year from now when that first payment's due like they were at the bar all night and woke up the next morning with a hangover. So I don't want people to wake up a year from now, but I do want them to wake up and still be in business. And I do want them to get to the other side of it. And so if that cushion helps us all get to the other side, that I'm good with. It does concern me when business owners I talk to get out their wish list. Well, that's way more money than I need right now. These other things that I thought about. And that makes me very nervous, especially right out of the gate. Six months from now, a year from now, that can be redecided whether that's a good use of this money or not. I want people to be good stewards of it. It is a lot of money. It is like winning the lottery to some people, but it is not lottery winnings. This is a loan. And it is to stabilize your business and help you get to the other side.
Well, I think that's a great point. You definitely don't want to misuse it. Once you get it, you need to be very strategic about it and think it through, and I absolutely agree with that. So now this loan, is this the EIDL loan, is this one that it has a personal guarantee or no?
It has, on loans over $200,000, it does require a personal guarantee. Loans under $200,000 or less do not require a personal guarantee. And loans above $500,000 require a whole different level of review. So regardless of size of business, I'm advising people to avoid loans over those two thresholds. So if you only need a little bit and they offer you $205,000, take $200,000 or less, okay, so that you don't have a personal guarantee on it. If you need more money because of the size of your operation, you're a big multi-store or just the number of people you employ and such, and you do need more money, I'm advising not to take over $500,000 because the length of time that gets involved in taking it, it's a extensive review at that point to get those funds released. Now, on top of that, though, they will, let's say you were approved for $250,000 and you said, well, Neil said, don't take more than $200,000. If we're to go on for a period of time and we were to have more economic effects down the road than we're currently optimistic about seeing, you could go back for a loan amendment and they would do an additional loan for the $50,000. And the same over $500,000, any amount. If you took less, they would allow you to go back and do a loan amendment for the additional amount should that become necessary.
So, Neil, let me ask you this. So for people who are self-employed, so we're talking really big numbers. So let's talk small numbers, all right? I am say I'm a person who I'm an online seller. I sell on eBay. I sell on Poshmark. I'm online. I'm an independent individual. Do I have to have some sort of, do I have to be some sort of entity like an LLC? Do I have to be a something in order to apply for this?
You don't. It can be right on, it can be right on your pass-through on your taxes, Jenny. So as long as you have income, 1099 income and such, so that you can show that you're a business, that you're earning income, that this is your livelihood, you can get money. You could, so you could have a 1099 that you're in tax return information to justify that you earned $50,000 last year and your cost of goods sold were 30, and you could get a loan for 10,000.
Does this mean I need to be full-time? Can I be part-time? Does it matter? Does it make
that,
any difference?
That part
how
isn't
much
it, how much you're operating doesn't matter. The dollars matter. This is all
Got
about
it.
Numbers.
Got it. So it
this
sounds
is
like
all about numbers. Nobody, nobody for this is going to ask you how many hours a week you work, because some people earn incredibly large sums of money working only a few hours a week. We've seen those book titles, Work 4 Hours from Home and Earn $100,000 a Year. And some of that is true, okay? Well, and some of it isn't. But it's more like work 400 hours a day from home and earn $100,000.
Right.
But,
okay.
But it is doable.
All right. So just to be clear, I don't need to own a store. I don't need to be incorporated or even be an LLC. But if I am self-employed and can prove it, there may be money for me through this EIDL loan during this time.
That is correct.
It's worth looking
that
into.
That is correct.
Good. Okay. That's terrific, because I know a lot of people listening are, there's just so many categories of listeners, people who sell part-time to people who have chains or you know, storefronts or only sell online. So it's good to know that this is something that's available for all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, so it might be something that would be good for them. Now, talk about, if you will, the PPP, the Payroll Protection Program, because that's the one that I know gets people a lot very excited, and you're always there to, like, you know, kind of, you know, temper their reaction on the part that's forgivable.
Well, there's lots of
misinformation.
And
yeah.
And there's a ton of misinformation. There's a ton of misinformation out there, and there's lots of nuances to it, but it can be a fabulous program if it's a program that your business qualifies for. The Paycheck Protection Program is all about payroll, and it's all about putting either keeping people working or bringing your team back to work, and that is what it is all about. It is getting headlines because part of the forgiveness, this loan, it is a loan, but it could convert to a grant if you meet the criteria. So the loan is based on 2.5 months of your payroll. So included in the payroll, they allow you to include things such as health insurance contributions and retirement contributions, which is really great. And I know there's some of your listeners are like, oh, I wish I could have health insurance, or I wish I could have retirement contributions. And there's others who are blessed to have grown their business so that they are offering that to their team members. This is a judgment-free zone. You know, I remember when I was really, really small and had a really small company, and some of my best ideas come from really small companies, and I love watching them grow. But with the Payroll Protection Program and that money, you can get that converted to a grant if you meet a couple of criteria. And under the current guidance, and it's evolving, keeping in mind at the time of this recording, the final paperwork and requirements have not been published yet. So they're issuing these loans, and you get these loans, whereas the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, the EIDL, you get directly from the SBA, and you go to the SBA. The protection program, you get from your local bank that is an SBA lender, or through one of the online platforms that is offering it, such as PayPal, Intuit QuickBooks is offering it, Square is offering it, and Kabbage. So there's 4 online-only players that are offering it, should your local bank not be offering it or your local bank has closed off applications for it. But the caveats to it, okay, people are like, sometimes get super excited. Well, it's, you know, quick money, because this Payroll Protection Program is designed to get into your accounts quickly because it's designed to maintain payroll. But the requirements for converting it from a loan to forgiveness, and the whole amount can be forgiven, is that you have to spend 75% of the money on payroll, and then also spent 75% of your full-time equivalent staff, the payroll. So full-time equivalent is a term that most people get confused on, because a lot of small businesses just have a few part-time people working for them. You know, you get that person that comes in 3 hours a day, and you have a few different people, and the hours add up. So to calculate full-time equivalents, Jenny, you take the total hours of payroll that you had last year, and you add that all up, you take that, and you divide it by 52 weeks, and then you divide it by 40, which is considered a full-time work week for this. And that gives you a fraction, and, you know, it might give you 2 1/4 full-time people. And for the sake of this program, they're rounding down. So if you're at 2 1/4, you're not going to round to 3. It's going to be, you'd have 2 full-time equivalents. So that would be what you'd need you'd need to restore 75% of it. So an easier number would be, is if you had 4 full-time equivalents, you'd have to restore 3 people to the payroll.
Let me ask you this real quick. You're saying you can get some of this turned into free money, but I'm not clear 5% of what your individual loan amount, because that's everyone's amount's going to be different.
75%,
right?
70. Yeah. So let's use $1,000. Let's say your loan amount for the Paycheck Protection Program was $1,000. That would mean you'd have to spend $750 of it on payroll, okay, for your whole $1,000 loan to be forgiven. And that needs to be spent in the 8 weeks. That needs to be spent in the 8 weeks following disbursement, following when you receive the money. When the money's in your account is when the clock starts.
So if I got $10,000 loan, I would $7,500 could potentially be forgivable if I use it for payroll, and then $2,500 for other things.
You can use it for other permissible expenses, which they define as rent, right, utilities, and payments on debt that existed before February 15th. Those are the key categories that $2,500 can be spent on.
So for businesses in states that are closed for business, for non-essential, what do you recommend? Because I'm here in California. I have a closed storefront. I have not yet, because of what we are just now about to talk about, which is if you don't have the ability to bring your staff full time, which I don't have that ability because I have a store that's closed, so there's no way. What are you recommending to people who can't actually bring their staff full time? And talk about those little nuances, because I was really surprised to learn all the little details, because I was ready to apply and ready to go. And then I hear, well, wait, you can't do that if your store is closed, because you can't bring people full time and you can't maintain it for 8 weeks. So talk about that.
Right. It's a catch-22, because they don't want you to bring people back and then have to lay them off again. So part of it is, the idea is that you would bring people back even if you can't be open, so that they would come off unemployment. So part of the government's idea is that you would do this, bring them back so that they're not on unemployment, and you would pay them even if they're staying at home, okay, right now, because of the stay-at-home orders. The practicality of that is hard, because we don't know when you'd be able to bring them back legitimately to work. And after this money runs out, they don't want you to really lay them off again, because that isn't good for anybody. And it's certainly not good psychologically for the employee. Okay. And in small business, we care very deeply about our employees. We know them. We know their families. We know their kids. And so doing that to an employee is just really unthinkable. And again, right now, as we're recording this, we don't know when all the stay-at-home orders will be fully lifted and when we can resume normal operation. So it benefits a business best if they can still be operating, and if they're or not to take the money until they can be operating. And there's a couple of ways to do that. The guidance from the SBA requires banks to issue the funds within 10 days of approval. And that is their goal. And it's because the media and the government have been getting bashed at how slow they're getting help out to businesses. So it was specifically in the guidance that loans had to be issued within 10 days. But that is guidance. So they don't have to issue it in 10 days. They can hold on to it if they choose. Once you have an approval number, once they have an approval from the SBA on it, that money is reserved for you as the business. But not all banks will hold it, okay? The banks don't get paid until the money gets issued. The government pays the banks for issuing these loans, and the banks don't get paid until the money is issued. So there's a complex rhythm.
Yes, my bank, for example, once I found out this was a criteria, I called them up, and I have one of the big banks. I won't say which one it is, but I have one of the big banks, and they said, no, we will not hold, period. So I said, well, you do realize that means X, Y, and Z for me. And the people were like, yeah, but we can only go by what's written here. And I'm like, yeah, so there wasn't – the big banks don't have a lot of ability to
It's not that they don't have flexibility. It's that they choose not to. It's all in how you serve your customers. I mean, this is why small business always wins over the big guys, because we take better care of our customers. And that's why, in general, the small banks win. So looking at the small banks, and I'm blessed to bank with a small bank. Some people would call my bank a medium bank now, because I think my bank has 25, 30 branches in the Northeast here. And, you know, when I first started banking with them, I think they only had 4 or 5. But they still operate like that little bank that had 4 or 5 branches, and they treat us that way. So they're currently holding it for me, and we're all approved, and I don't have to take a disbursement the next day. And that's what most big banks are forcing disbursement right away, whereas the smaller ones are being flexible to the needs of their customers. And I've heard that time and time again as I've talked to store owners across the country. Go ahead.
No, what's interesting is that, like, the government doesn't have a lot of choice, I think, but to send the money out now. But, I mean, we're still looking at an environment where there are a lot of states who have yet to even shutter businesses, right? Like, we're feeling it here in California. They're certainly feeling it in New York. But as this pandemic rolls across the country, you're going to have people, you know, applying for things, and the timing may be way off, because you could have conceivably applied for something, get ready to start using it, and then something happens, right? And you've been shuttered in your state. And I think there's a real unique perspective in the timing on all of this, and none of us can predict it. But I know that people may have a hard time taking the money now and putting people back to work. I mean, it's just, I don't know how
that. And in many cases, and that's what I tell people. So if the choice is take the money, okay, but not being able to put people back to work, then it's my recommendation that you as a business don't take the money. And it's important to understand that, because some people are like, you know, we talked about the EIDL loan, and that's at 3.75%. Well, this is technically a 1% loan, Jenny. But if you think of 2.5 months payroll, okay, and, you know, even your $10,000 number, okay, using a number of $10,000, well, at 1%, that doesn't sound that bad, but you have an 18-month repayment term, essentially, okay? There's no payments for 6 months, and then you have to start making payments on it over the next 18 months. So, you know, that's a big additional expense if you didn't use it for payroll.
You need the money.
That's an extra $600 a month payment to your business. You know, so I mean, if on a $10,000 loan, you're looking at about $600. Okay, and it sounds good now. Well, I got this quick money, and I'm going to use it to pay rent, or I'm going to use it to pay something else. But then, when you have to start paying on it, and you have to pay it over 18 months, an extra $600 payment on a $10,000 loan. And that's for every $10,000 you take is an extra. That just makes it, that doesn't go with the philosophy of surviving for the long term. It's a short term thing. So, and I want people to survive and stand and be tall for the long term. Can't use it for payroll, or you're not going to use it for payroll, then do not take this money, because it will not be a blessing. It'll be a curse.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't even thought about the fact that this one has a shorter payout period, you know, payback period. And so $600 is a lot. I mean, that would be a big chunk for any business to try to sustain going through it, especially when there's so many unknowns about how long it's going to take for your revenues to get back to to what they were before, if they get back there at all, you know? It's like,
I'm optimistic that our best days are ahead of us, but I don't know when we're going to hit those best days, you know? So I know we'll get there. I know we'll have record sales days again in the future, but I don't know whether that's going to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, where people will start spending and the economy will be back to normal.
Neil, who is this money for then? Like, help me understand, because if a business is not completely closed, you have businesses that are completely closed or partially closed, or can only, like restaurants, you can only do takeout, but I don't understand how this is helpful and what, I don't understand which category of business is going to fit into this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, help me understand, because like you, I know you have a really close relationship with the SBA people. You're on the Hill. You're talking to senators and governors and Congress people and all these people all the time, and they bounce things off of you. They get your opinion. But the point I want to make is that you had said that they put in this 10-day mandatory payout, not mandatory, but guideline. And yet, in this environment, that actually isn't a service for people who don't need it yet. So, one, are there any plans to fix that other than trying to find your way to a lender who's willing to hold it for you? And two, can you give me an example of a business where this would be helpful when so many have been ordered to stay at home?
Sure. There is a push to get a correction to this bill to allow for that, okay? But there isn't a lot of appetite to fix that part of it because the government has gotten a lot of flack in the media for getting money out there slowly. It's not easy to spend $2 trillion. I know it sounds easy, and I know it sounds, well, just write a check, you know, to $2 trillion. Well, if you think of all the millions of small businesses in the United States and all the employers and all the employees, you know, that employ all these Americans, it's not that easy a task, you know, to get that all out and to streamline it. So they use the banks for this, which is good, but the banks aren't good at simple either, because they're good at dotting their I's and crossing their T's and double and triple checking everything. So they like rules and clear-cut guidance. So one of the things that has a chance is some of the potentially getting some of the ways that forgiveness is calculated or the period of time that forgiveness is calculated changed to allow for other uses during the time that you have to take it, and then meeting the payroll threshold in a different way. And there's certainly discussions on that, but there's nothing definitive or nothing that I could really share with anybody at this time. But you also have to keep in mind, this is helping other, while we are all familiar with the being labeled non-essential, there are tons of essential businesses that are operating right now that had to get ways to operate remotely, that are operating with kids on the lap while somebody's on the phone and supporting all sorts of different business people right now that are working but have no cash flow. They're keeping their people working, but their customers may not be paying the bills right now and are buying on credit with them and aren't making their normal terms because their business has been hampered. So it's helping, like I have a friend who has an IT company. So he's helping businesses, his business is up, but he hasn't been able to collect from his customers yet. So because he's got all these people that he's now supporting at home, because many of his customers' workforce went from supporting an office to supporting people, all these individual employees in their houses. So his business has increased, but his customers aren't paying their bills yet. And so it creates a real shortfall for him. So he's trying to keep his people employed. And, so that does help him. But there's lots of small businesses like that, whether it's a delivery service or something, that are keeping some parts of this economy going right now. The few things that are running are able to take advantage of this. And other people never furloughed their workers. They had enough of a safety cushion in the bank that they didn't furlough their workers and are taking advantage of this. They never put their employees on unemployment. And that is a very hard thing to do. And so they're using this money to continue that and keep them off of unemployment.
So in addition to the PPP, okay, we've talked about the unemployment benefits now expanded for self-employed. So everyone should look into that and check with their state because each state is rolling it out differently. There's the economic injury disaster loan that is out there for people to look at from the SBA, and then the PPP, which goes through banks' payroll protection program. So those are all three the most important things are out there. Now, in addition, on the NARTS website, and that's NARTS.org, they have a special section where you can click through and get all of the kind of updated grant information loan programs that are out there. And I know some that you have listed are like there's a Verizon grant, which, by the way, my business applied for and we were denied. And they said we had 55,000 applications and 250 people made the cut. And I just thought that was a good to learn. Like it was important for me to realize that.
But if you were one of those 250, that's a great thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the kind of demand that's out there. And but there's a lot of state grants or just even small ones. The next town over from my store is doing one where you can get $2,500 as a small business. You know, I've seen others and others.
On the website, you've got listed MailChimp, Business Support Fund, the Verizon Grant, the Google Ad Credits Program, Constant Contact, Small Business Support Kit. Entrepreneur.com has some links to relief funds. Hello Alice has $10,000 grants. The Virginia 30-Day Fund has forgivable loans. There's a foundation that has some grants. And then the Red Backpack Fund by the Spanx Foundation. Spanx, Sarah Blakely Foundation, is going to be offering some grants. So, like, this place on the website is really terrific. So I know that Adele Meyer, the executive director, is updating this on an ongoing basis. So people, even if you're not a member, you can go to NARTS.org, click on this for the coronavirus relief, and just peek through and see if there's anything that's related to you in terms of what's out there. And Neil, you've been doing this wonderful service, keeping us all updated with these Facebook Lives. Now, let's talk about some of the stuff you've learned in this part, like the human element, because, you know, it's a lot for everyone to wrap their head around. I walked today to my store to check on something, and I walked and I had my mask on, and I'm like, this is crazy. It's just surreal. And then I walked home, and, you know, it's hard to kind of wrap our heads around what's even happening to us, but be that as it may, you are dealing with people like me and the members of NARTS, and you've been literally giving free one-on-one consultations to every single member who's asked for it, which is just incredible, and walking them through, holding their hand, getting out the infamous pink calculator, helping people literally figure out what to apply for and when, which has just been a tremendous service to me. But tell me, like, from the human aspect, like, what is it? What's your takeaway in talking to all these different business owners about where their head is, how they feel about where they are, and how they feel about what's out there for them and kind of the future?
Well, you know, there's a lot of fear before I talk to them. There's a ton of fear, and it's fear and overwhelm because there's so much unknown, and this isn't really their wheelhouse. Paperwork, navigating government programs, doing that is not their wheelhouse. And you also have a lot of incredibly proud people that built their businesses from nothing on a shoestring and, you know, fear that they're going to lose everything that they have worked so hard to build. And I enjoyed having the opportunity to be able to sit down and break it down with them and see where they're at, take a look at their situation and their numbers. So many fear that, you know, they're the only one in this, that they're in it all alone. And they're not alone running this store. And they really are not. And there are so many similar stories to them. They think that, you know, so often it's, oh, I'm embarrassed or I don't want to admit that this is the position I'm in. And it has nothing to do with embarrassment. It's nobody asked for this. Nobody asked for a pandemic, okay? Nobody bring me some pandemic. Okay.
Right.
This isn't like supersizing your fries. Nobody asked for a pandemic. And so it's about getting to the other side and being a better operator. You know, if you need to be a better operator, there's some phenomenal store operators out there. Most people get into business not because they have a love of running a business. Okay. They have a love for purses. They love shoes. They love furniture. whatever it is they love, that's their passion, and that's what they got into business for. They didn't get into business for the business side of it. But one day you wake up and you do, and realize that you have to manage the whole business side of it. And pandemic is one of those times that you realize, oh my God, I have to be paying attention to all these things. And that isn't many people's wheelhouse. And so it's a true honor to be able to guide people through this time and get them to the other side. Because quite honestly, Jenny, unless they planned on going out of business before this pandemic hit, which there are some people that were retiring or doing other things when this hit, and they legitimately were planning their store closing sale, and that's fine. They're going to close after this and do a proper closing. I have no problem with that. But anyone else that was in business before should still be in business after this, and there are the resources and there is a path forward for them. And that's the one undeniable truth through all this, and we'll all get there together.
It's the one thing I really appreciate the most about your Facebook Live is that you are very positive about the future. Your approach to it is not one of fear. That doesn't mean you have never felt any or anything like that. But like, you're from a very like, all right, let's solve this problem. Okay, now how are we going to navigate this, and how are we going to do that, and how are we going to do that? And you take that approach, and it does. And you're very upbeat, you're very encouraging, and I love at the beginning, like, tell me what you're grateful for, you know, list something you're grateful for, and it really does.
Absolutely, every night, because there is something good that happens in each of our days. You know, it's easy to say all the stuff that went wrong in our day, or all the stuff that's miserable, or the pile of bills that are on your desk. That's easy. To take the time and look at what you accomplished, what you have to be grateful for, we all have something to it each and every day.
Well, I know how I'm feeling, so I don't think I'm all that special in this, but I know that I feel a lot of anxiety. I know I feel isolated. I feel alone. I feel siloed. I mean, I have a business partner, but I can't see him. So I feel cut off. I feel like it's just like in some weird, like, alternate universe or something going on. And yet what I find is that when I get connected for the Facebook Live, and I've seen 60 people on there just clocking in to see what you've got to say, and we're all like chatting, and it gives a sense of connection because we all are going through the same thing. And I love the fact that you have this business expertise and the mindset to be able to know what's happening every day, to get these updates and be able to transfer it in language we can understand in the Facebook Live through the chats. And it's been a big support, and I think where these days finding common ground with anybody seems to be like a number one thing to achieve. This is I just want like some sort of connectivity, no matter what it is. Oh, we all sell on Poshmark together. We all sell on eBay together. Oh, we're all in the NARTs together. You know, it's like suddenly what we have in
common. We're all in this together, and I don't care whether people are a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, or a reseller. What business they are, because I've literally helped. I couldn't even imagine and list all the industries that I've helped or talked to through this. And quite often when I call someone, they have three of their friends that had questions that own different things, from a dry cleaner to a pizza place to something else, that have questions about theirs. Can I answer their questions while I'm answering theirs? And you know, these are hugely important things, because it's the people. It's all about the people.
That, to me, I've had so many questions in my own mind, and then I get them, I throw them out in the Facebook Live or whatever, and then, of course, I've had private time with you, but still, like, I still have questions, so many, and it's like, who do you ask? And the fact that you've got an organization like NARTs that's tracking all of this, that's following it, that's giving us the ability to have what we need. I mean, this is NARTs at its absolute best, and I am so impressed with what they're doing and what you're doing as their president, being in touch with the decision makers on this, following this legislation. I mean, you've read, I think, what, every page or something. How many pages is this bill?
The actual CARES Act's over 800 pages.
Wow.
The guidance that comes out, or the rules that come out for different things, have countless pages. I mean, you know, the Paycheck Protection Programs, you know, different three different sets of guidance come out in the last 2 days alone. So, I mean, there's a lot to stay on top of. There's a lot, but that's my wheelhouse. I'm not going to tell you the best, the purse that matches your outfit. I'm the guy that holds up a white shirt and says, does it go with this? But
what's encouraging is that they're listening. Because I guess, you know, if you've never known a lobbyist or never worked with a trade association, it's really hard to understand what they do, right? And so the fact that you are basically the mouthpiece for an entire group of people and industries and companies in resale, thrifting, retail, and all of this, I mean, the fact that you can be there and explain to them what it's like on the ground, what it's like, I think that's amazing. And I think you've shared that they're really listening to you and that they have a lot of questions about how it impacts us at this level.
Absolutely. I've talked to countless, people at the federal level and at different levels because they want to know. They want this to work. They want it to affect people. They want to know how to make it better. And they know it's not easy. They know the stress that businesses feel when they can't pay their bills. I mean, it's a terrible feeling for people. And you have this period now that people are going through with no revenue. even online sellers, the revenue has declined. And even if you have a storefront and you sell online, it's only a portion of your revenue. It doesn't replace the whole thing. So.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I went online to the IRS.gov to see, like, where's my stimulus check? And I came up like, we can't find you. I was like, great, But,
it's okay, but it's coming. It's coming. All this money is coming.
The thing is, I know they don't have my banking information, so I know that there's no refund that's just going to, like, show up there because they don't have it, so... what am I going to do? So I'll just wait for it to show up and understand the president's name is on the check. So that'll be interesting to see that as well. But yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to be able to apply for unemployment. I'm waiting to be able to apply for a PPP. I'm waiting to get my stimulus check. And, I'm waiting for all kinds of things. And like everyone else, now, fortunately, I have relatives who want to make sure I'm not hurting, and so they are working to take care of some things for me, which is terrific, which helps ease my burden. But if I didn't have that, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even knowing you've got a safety net in certain ways or with certain people does not take all the stress away, because I'm really trying in my position to solve my own problem, and it is a huge problem to overcome.
Right.
Not for me, but for so many people.
And that's why I give those four things to pay first before you pay anybody else. This isn't the time to pay the person that's screaming at you the most. This is the time to pay what's important so that you live to fight another day. And, that isn't to say don't pay your landlord. That isn't to say that these people never get paid, that you're not paying food in your belly and live to fight another day. And then you'll be able to take care of these people. Not today, not necessarily tomorrow, but you will be able to do it. You do those things. That's what's so important.
So, Neil, where can people find you? I've told people how to find NARTS, NARTS.org, but how do they find you? I mean, do you have your own website, your own YouTube channel, or what's going on?
I have all of the videos that I am doing right now are on the YouTube channel. You're not alone running this store. And you can find that there. They're posted. All the live videos are posted there the next day. After 12 o'clock Eastern, I think, they post. So you get member of NARTS, you get to ask questions, see them live at 8 o'clock every night. But they're posted to You're Not Alone Running This Store on YouTube the next day. You can find me at Neil, N-E-I-L, at ECIStores.com. I'm the easiest guy. I respond to everything, and I call people back. And that's what I've been spending my day is just helping everybody regardless of their business, how big, how small, quite honestly, what industry. I've been helping everybody because I want to see every business and every person make it to the other side of this. This is an awful thing. We've had to shut down the country for the health, for everyone's health and well-being, and stop the spread. So, but we can still spread joy. We can still spread happiness and hope. And I have faith in us, and I have faith in small business that we will get to the other side. And they're not alone running this store.
Well, Neil Abramson, president of NARTS, thank you for being with us today. I know you're off to do your Facebook Live, and I don't want you to be late. It starts now. So thank you for spending time with me and talking to me this through. I hope we can have you on again down the road when probably there'll be a lot more to talk about as we move forward. And I really appreciate your time today. So that's it. So thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Jenny Walker with Closet Conversations, and I look forward to having you with me on a future episode. If you like the song you heard at the beginning, it's called Black Hat, written and recorded by Jenny Walker and Tommy Farragher. It's from the album Night Flight to London, available on iTunes worldwide now.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.